Renewing America by renewing the American family is a great long-term goal. How do we strengthen our own marriages? Even in the church, we do find many divorces. Perhaps part of the reason for that is the no-fault divorce laws, which means that if one partner wants out of the marriage and is absolutely determined to dissolve the union, the other partner can't even fight that. George Washington, a happily married man himself, once observed, "I have always considered marriage as the most important event or most interesting event in one's life, the foundation of happiness or misery." Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family works to strengthen marriages, and he joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Greg Smalley, it's great to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So why do you think marriages are so weak in modern America, and is there a link at all between America's pathologies and America's marriage problems?
Yeah, I most certainly think there's a very clear link. You know, as go marriages, so go communities and states and countries and all of that. I mean, a marriage is truly the backbone, the foundation of any healthy society. And I think, you know, as I look around, I think one big thing that's going on is that we're all so busy. You know, I was thinking maybe past COVID, once we slowed down and we're with each other, that, man, past COVID, that maybe would be different. But I think people, honestly, are busier. Couples are busier now than they were pre-COVID. I think we feel guilty that our kids missed out on so many activities, that we're letting our kids do tons of things now that are keeping us busy chauffeuring and spectating in stands, that people are making up travel that they didn't get to do. I mean, there's so much, I think, that's contributing to couples just being busier. And when we're busy, then we start to neglect the relationship, and all of a sudden one day we feel like married roommates, and there's a slow drift then that really can happen over time. And I know that, I mean, that happened to my wife and I. We've been married 30 years. I had actually just released my very first marriage book. It was called The Marriage You've Always Dreamed Of. And right as that was coming out, she came to me in tears going, you know, I love you, I'm committed to you, but man, I feel like we're nothing more than married roommates. And what she didn't say, which I'm sure she was thinking, is that whatever we have, this is not the marriage that I've always been dreaming about. But it was a huge moment in our marriage to where we had to make some choices to go, is this how we want to live, just disconnected? Or are we going to do something different? And so, you know, my wife and I, we started to figure out how do we stay connected, because I don't want to live with my wife as a married roommate.
And so what happened in your marriage?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I began to realize is that when, you know, it takes a lot to manage a family, it takes a lot to run a marriage. You know, we've got to constantly be talking about who's picking up which kid and who's going to the store and this budget issue. But the problem is that stuff will monopolize our communication if we don't do something else intentionally. Like, I don't ever have to try to force, you know, talking to my wife about whatever task and to-do list and have a business meeting with her, because we've got to do that to run our family. But what ends up happening is that then we lose sight of who we are, kind of on the inside, kind of the inner life gets ignored. And a deeper inner life conversation about how are you feeling, what's stressing you out, what's, you know, what are you dreaming about, that kind of conversation will never happen on its own. And for Aaron and I, we had to learn that we've got to take some time every day to actually to talk about inner life stuff. And so we simply do this. We've gotten really good at the end of the day. We're finally in bed and we'll just ask each other, hey, what was the higher of your day? What was the lower of your day? And what that does is that keeps me updated and current. I'm constantly now rediscovering my wife, because we're choosing to take about 10 minutes every day and just do this little, what was the best part of your day and the hardest part of your day? And it just keeps us connected. And then once we're sharing like that, then man, that's the basis of our friendship. You know, what I was learning is that, you know, a marriage won't survive from business meeting to business meeting, you know, from figuring out who's doing what. It just won't. We drift so far apart versus we've got to take 10 minutes every day and just check in and make sure that we're staying updated on what's going on in each other's lives, and that more that inner life kind of conversation.
I'm sure you feel also that it's extremely important how well a couple prepares for marriage before they get married. As someone pointed out once, man, so many couples spend so much time, especially in some cases it is the wife to be, in preparing for the wedding, but the couple is not preparing right. Well for the marriage. And boy, what a key that is, I think.
It really is. And I, you know, I actually just this past Friday, so a few days ago, I had the privilege of talking to a young man who was asking me for my blessing so he could marry my daughter. And this was my daughter that on her third wedding anniversary, her husband said, "I don't want to be married anymore," and divorced her. And I think the true value now in my mind of doing good premarital work is that it teaches this couple that it's okay, it's healthy to reach out for help, that it's okay to get others to speak into your relationship, whether that's through a book or a video or actually sitting down with a counselor, a pastor at a church. Because to me, commitment, it's, you know, like this, my ex-son-in-law, I mean, he said all the right things. He told me, "Oh, I'd never leave your daughter, and I know it's going to be hard, and I promise that I'll get help." But, you know, and I believe that he believed that at the time. But I think the true evidence of am I committed to my wife for my lifetime is that I'm willing to go get help, that I'm willing to seek out advice, that we go to marriage events, that we read books together every year. It's like to me, that's the value of getting premarital, is that you're probably gonna forget most of that stuff, you know, because you are thinking about the big wedding. But I think the true value is that you're teaching your relationship that it's healthy to reach out and to learn, and that to me is humility and a willingness to do whatever it takes to make this marriage work. But instead of people just saying, "Oh yeah, I'm committed," to me the evidence is, boy, am I willing to go get counseling and to go get premarital help and to do those kind of proactive things to keep a relationship strong?
Well, if you had to do anything different when it comes to what happened with your own daughter, would you have changed anything? I mean, I mentioned at the very beginning of this that with the no-fault divorce laws, you have a situation where if somebody wants out, they can demand that.
Right.
And if they're absolutely determined to go that route, which is, you know, unbiblical and so forth, what can the grieving party do? You know, in fact, I've seen analogies where they said, okay, imagine if you're a builder, okay, and you have to have a load of bricks delivered to this site, and so you pay the advance, you've got everything lined up, you've got your workers, they all come there, and there they are waiting for the bricks on that particular day. You've signed the paperwork, you've given the deposit or the money or whatever, and the person with the bricks doesn't deliver, and they say, "Oh, I just don't feel like it." Well, wait a minute, you've got a yeah. contract here. "No, well, I just don't feel like it." Oh, I mean, that's kind of like what it is with a no-fault divorce. If somebody wants out, you know, with the law, they can get out.
Absolutely. And it takes two people with a desire and a willingness to do whatever they need to do to stay in this marriage. And so, I mean, excluding domestic violence, I mean, obviously,
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Very
that's,
different situation.
That,
yeah,
very
mean,
good
that,
point.
That person needs to go and get help and get safe and all that. But that wasn't the case in my daughter's first marriage. And you know, I felt like we did everything we could. I mean, I met with this young man and literally begged. We have access to some of the best counseling on the planet. Like, just get help. Slow this down. You know, I wish that there were laws. Again, domestic violence would make would do away with them. But I wish there was a way that people would be required that before you divorce, that, you know, get counseling, you know, get help in ways, slow this thing down. And I'm still convinced had he been willing that there was enough good help out there that their marriage absolutely could have been turned around and thriving at this point. I told him, I said, listen, you promised me, you gave me your word. So, put aside the covenant you made between you and the Lord and my daughter. I walked my daughter down the aisle, placed her hands in your hands because you promised me that you would never leave her and you'd do whatever it would take. And I said, you owe me. I told him, I said, you owe me a year that you get into counseling for a year. At the end of that year, if you still want out, then I'll give you my blessing. But again, that he made a different choice. I wrote a whole article called the 12 questions that every father should ask his future son-in-law. And I still stand by those really good questions. They're the right things. And anyone can say whatever they want, and I'll be the first to say I don't believe that my ex-son-in-law ever lied. I don't think that he misled me, my wife, in any way. I just think when they had some struggles, he thought that it just would make more sense to move on and start over with someone else.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's interesting. I know in some cases there's a phenomenon of church discipline. I know of a situation where a man divorced his wife. There was no biblical basis for that divorce, and he was still on the rolls of a particular church, and the church went ahead and went through all the biblical procedures in a very loving way, giving him the full benefit of the doubt in all ways. But they ultimately decided to excommunicate him from the membership of the church he was no longer even going to, but that had implications for the church he went on to, which he thought would be, you know, just hunky dory, you know, and it wasn't. So it at least it was something that somebody could do. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. What would you like to see in America when it comes to strengthening America's families? Is it, it almost seems hopeless when you look at how bad things are, but the fact is, you know, God can turn things around, and marriage is a picture of Christ and the bride. So this is something that God thought of. This is his idea, not ours.
Yeah, I would say to me, what our country needs is men and women who want to invest in other couples. To me, that's the secret. You know, there's only so much that I could do or a focus on the family can do. It's really, there's an army of husbands and wives out there who would love to invest in that's my biggest encouragement. Find another couple, start praying for that couple, offer to babysit for exhausted young parents so they can have a date night. You know, just walk with someone who's struggling in their marriage and just be there, because that's the answer. I call them marriage champions. We need an army of marriage champions, men and women, just investing in the lives of other couples. That's what's going to turn around our country as far as our divorce rates, and that will help us grow healthy marriages.
That is excellent. You know, that is, in a sense, that's what's behind that whole marriage encounter phenomenon, which my wife and I had the privilege of going to that in an engaged encounter, and I think that really definitely strengthened our marriage. Well, thank you so much for being with us. FOTF.org for more information. How about a 10-second closing thought on marriage?
It's worth the greatest adventure you'll ever be on. Do everything you can to honor your marriage and keep it strong.
Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you for having me.